Hello, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Raw Spiel, where we keep it real with the hard truth. I'm happy to have with me. We have a special guest here, Mr. Sean Kelly. We happen to be from the same hometown. He's residing in Texas. He has his own podcast called To Be a Man Podcast. And we're just going to, you know, talk over a few things. Mr. Kelly, how you doing today, sir?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, doing just fine. I'm glad you're able to come on here and, you know, help me out with this discussion there. We're going to talk about, I guess, let's be calling this, talk about the youth for today. The, you know, I sit back and look, especially on social media nowadays, you have parents talking about how they want the best for their children, which is fine and dandy. Nothing, don't get me wrong, y'all. Nothing is wrong with that. You know, for a parent to want the best for their child, and sometimes it goes as far as to say, I want my child to have things that I never have. And you know, and sometimes you know, and sometimes the parent didn't have such a horrible life as they're trying to portray, that they're trying to put forth. You know, like for example, they probably come from a, you know, two parent home, they're provided for, have a roof over their head, clothes on their back, you know, food on the table. You know, they didn't want for anything, and for them to say, "I want my children to have things that I didn't have," I'm like, but what would you lack? And I understand maybe if you were living in a one-room shack with 12 other people, you ate maybe twice a week or something. I can understand that. But when I see, when I listen to these parents say how they want, you know, want their children to have the things they didn't have, when I listen to them carefully, it's pretty much they're pretty much heading towards spoiling their children. Pretty much, oh, I guess that's the only easy way to put it. But you're spoiling them. Okay, just for example, some parents might say, you know, when I grew up, I had to work and go to school. I had to do this. Oh, but why not pass on those same work ethics to your offsprings? So from what I'm seeing nowadays, it seems like they coddle their children nowadays. So that's kind of a troubling. So that's kind of the issue that we're having today. It's a lot of coddling. You know, okay, you had good work ethics. Okay, now look at your life. You have a nice career, good home, married, or whatever. So why would you want your child to follow in that same footstep? Instead, you know, instead of the parent would just work, just to, just to hand them money. So they have no appreciation of money or anything like that. So I just... So what's your thought on that, Sean? That's just an observation I've noticed, especially on social media. You know, it just, again, people, it's fine to want the best for your children, but sometimes you can take a little bit too far and not realize it.
Yeah, and so one of the things I've heard is, rather than wanting the best, allowing your children to experience things that you didn't.
Right.
And that's one thing that I'm attempting to do myself, is things I've learned through life, and then, you know, allowing my children to have experiences that I didn't have. My podcast is Be a Man Podcast. What led to that is my divorce. And in my studying and observations and everything, I come to find out that of all divorces, 70 to 80% are filed by the wife. And, you know, that kind of started this whole path of, well, and so I'm the one that filed. So I fall in this minority of divorces. So then that made me start thinking, well, what's different about me and all this? So in further study, and this is all leading into that, but in further study, you find that 100 to 200 years ago, we were still very much an agrarian society, and meaning that we were farmers and whatnot. So you had sons and probably not so much the daughters, but for sure the sons would go off to work with dad in the fields, you know, as they came of age. So they were with dad and uncle and granddad and all this, and actually got to see how a man is supposed to act within society. Mm-hmm. So as the industrial age came to be and dad went off to the factories, well, children can't follow into the factories. So now you've started this absence of the father in the home, even though they were married, you know, everything else, he was gone for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. So now you don't have this example, except for in the evenings, you know, dad's already tired, you know, he just wants to eat and go to bed. So we still carry this on into today. Well, one of the things that has also happened is that men have abdicated their roles within marriage to women, to the wife, you know, to the point, you know, and society tells us, said we, you know, get a good job, go to work, provide, a, you know, shelter and all this other stuff. All the while, we neglect the relationship. So then in that neglect of relationship, the spouse, the wife becomes, trying to think of the word, resentful. Mm-hmm. She becomes resentful. She's like, well, I'm doing everything other than money. What are you doing for me? So then that's kind of what leads up to the wife filing for divorce. Right. You know, if you're not doing anything for me, then, you know, whatever. So, you know, you mentioned how children are, you know, acting up on social media today, and just in society in general. And there's a lot of factors to this. There's a lot of, as the saying goes, there's a lot of onion layers to peel back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I introduced that, you know, the man being absent from the home, or the father being absent from the home, in my case, even though I was still married, you know, I would do those 8, 10, 12 hour days. And then you should have an hour drive on top of that. You know, for myself, I did. So I did neglect the relationship, but I thought I was doing everything that I should be doing, everything that society tells us to do. And then even within the church, this same thing happens. And then we also have abdicated our spiritual leadership role. Through the whole gamut, it's like we've abdicated everything that men are supposed to be doing. So now you don't have an example, a fatherly example of how to behave. And of course, and this started, like I said, a long time ago, And then, so like you come into the, like the '60s, you had the baby boomers, kind of come to age. They had parents that went off to war. Many didn't come back. So that kind of started this whole kind of acting out, as lack of a better term. You know, and there's always those in this, in our society, no matter when. You can go back, you know, 2,000 years ago, and you still see the acting out. But today we have cameras everywhere. You know, we have smartphones that have, you know, all you have to do is push a button and the camera comes up and we're recording. To where, like, when you and I grew up, you acted out. You didn't have cameras recording everything we did. And it plays into this need for acceptance. So if you're being recorded during this bad behavior, all that does is reinforce it. So like TikTok, you're looking after, you're looking for views, no matter what you're doing. And just on, you know, society, whatever you want to call it, when something bad happens, that's what sells. That's what gets attention. You know, if you sit here and read a Bible verse and then go into explaining it, you might get 10 views. But you go, you know, throw yourself up a house and break your leg, now you have 1 million views. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so again, pulling back to onion layers, it's like, I can't really tell you where to start other than in the home.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I've heard that with other things too. It's like, if you want to change something, start with you. Start with your local area, you know, your home, neighborhood, city, and so on. So I'm trying to think. So if you, okay, like for instance, another thing is being on the same page as a married couple about how to raise children, mm-hmm. and what that should look like. That's where I was trying to think where to go. So that's one thing that didn't happen within my own marriage, is we had different ideas about raising the children, but we never did flesh this out until children came. So, you know, as a young couple, before you even start that, before you even have children, that discussion should come up, and in detail. So I never wanted my children to have cell phones. But then as soon as separation happened, the oldest child got the first cell phone. So it was like, you didn't want me to do this, then I'm going to do it out of spite. Mm-hmm. And then now I've seen the change in my children. You know, they're constantly on their phone, you know, doing the TikTok and Instagram and all this other stuff. And there's nothing, well, TikTok maybe, but there's nothing really inherently wrong with wanting to share, but it's at what cost and at, you know, for what purpose. Because just like with you, it's helped me to stay connected with others that I wouldn't have had connection otherwise. Mm-hmm. So there is benefits to social media. It's just a matter of how you decide to use it. So.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll talk about the social media. I see a lot of parents get on there and be posting, you know, how they want to, like I said, better life for their children and things of that nature. Well, yeah, you said something very interesting about the father role and bringing up children. I know anybody that followed this broadcast, the Raw Spiel, this is something that we have, when I had Apostle Bolden on here, this is something that we really talked about pretty often, the importance of a father mm-hmm. in the home. And I tell you, you are right on the money, because I know some reason today's society is really encouraging women to be independent. Mm-hmm. Even though they are, some of them are married, they have a husband who's there to, I mean, a husband that's going to lead the way he's supposed to, but society encouraging women today to be independent.
Right.
And so that's going to cause, so you have a man, a husband that's going to be the spiritual leader of the household, who know his role.
Right.
But as a wife, you keep kicking back on him, you keep questioning his authority, it's going to be a constant clash. So pretty much, just like T.D. Jakes has said in one of his sermons, which he got a lot of negative feedback for, but he was right. Sometimes they are praising women for being masculine, praising women for being independent. And some are going far to let their husband know, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. So you don't have, so pretty much there's not a need for a husband. A society has got it to where you don't need a man in your life. That's not true. The Bible don't back that up.
No.
The Bible say the head of every woman is the man.
Right.
The head of the man is Christ. And I mean, you have a problem with that, you just have a problem with what's in that Bible. Now, right. The problem is, you know, people have to pick and choose what they follow in their word. When it comes down to love, peace, oh yeah, that's we need that. But when it comes down to submission, oh what, wait a minute, that's old. That was for back then. No, it's for now.
Right.
And because like I said, like you were saying, it is very important that the father be, and I hate to say it, but to be allowed to be a man in a household. It's a shame you have to say that, to be allow him to be the man.
Right. And you know, that's one of the things that I'm kind of pulling apart as well, is what does this actually look like? Because we are 150 years separated from men being in the home and being, you know, a very integral part of the family. So in society, if we don't necessarily change anything, then, and when I say that, like, we still go to we still go to our jobs every day, you know, we still have our activities that we do, still have cell phones and all this other stuff, technology. What does it look like to be a man in today's society? So is it even possible to go back to have those characteristics of what it was to be a man back then? Is that even possible to implement into today? And mm-hmm. I think it is. It's just a matter of pulling apart what is that? So I know we're kind of getting off topic, but you know, but it all kind of plays into, you know, raising the children. So Dr. Kevin Lehman, I don't know if you know about him. He has a book, Have a New Kid by Friday. So one of the things that he stresses is it's not the child. It's you. It's your behavior and your response to that child that initiates a response from that child. So by you yelling and screaming and, you know, whatever, if you're just neglecting them, that child's going to respond in the way that either society or their own human nature tells them to. So when, if you want change in a child, you're the first line of change. So you have to change how you are raising that child. So if it's, if you're experiencing now, I'm going to burn into a pile here, but if you're having negative responses from that child, then 90%, 90, 95% of the time is you. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have children that are inclined in bad behavior? You can. You know, you have an example in the Bible with Jacob and Esau. Esau came out of the womb fighting Jacob. So you have this kind of spirit that was attached from the get-go, from birth. So does it happen? Sure. But that's what I'm going to say is like 90 to 95%. You have, if you're experiencing that bad behavior and stuff that you don't want in that child's life, then it's you, you're the problem. So, and I can, I'm sitting here looking at my phone, got it right here. So if you want, and I'm going to point the finger at me. So like I say that my children are on the phone all the time. Well, so am I. So I'm going to point the finger right back at myself. And, you know, sometimes I have to catch myself as how much I'm actually on my phone and paying attention to the phone and not paying attention to my children, because they will emulate what you do.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Yeah, it was so many reasons you said, like a kind of good segue. You know, when I hear about some of the behaviors of the youth and the young people today, I always said, you know, I said, well, this is a different breed of children. But I had to think about that. I said, is it really a different breed of children, or has the parenting been very lax? And you know, I just somehow had to. I had to rethink that. You know, maybe there's some children that come here very may have been rebellious or something. But mm-hmm. but is it really a different breed of children out there, or has the parenting nowadays just become just so lax where the parents want to be their children's friend, mm-hmm. and I'm telling you, sometimes these teenagers they just can get reckless with their mouth, and the parents don't do anything to correct them or nothing. So it's
right.
So I have to wonder about that now. Is there a whole another flock of children out there, or is the parent in the day just been very, very lax, or is it a combination of both? I wonder.
I think it's a combination. So it's not necessarily that children are different. They're definitely being raised in a different environment, just like our parents were raised differently in different environments than we were. And that does have an impact. But now this is just, let's say it's Sean in my own theory, as I have seen or observed kind of like cycles of, I'm trying to think of how to put this. So like cycles of the children being different. So you look at like millennials. Now there are some hardworking millennials out there, but for the most part, they want immediate gratification. They don't want to work for their stuff and all this other, you know, and that does come from upbringing. That comes from parenting. It's like, right, just like you mentioned, it's like we just give and give and give and don't make them work for it. Then that's what they grow up to expect when they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so like the generation that is my oldest son is in, so he's 14 right now. There seems to be a little bit of a turning point for his generation that they're more receptive to work. So I don't know if it's them seeing, like, because that's mine and your generation's children. So millennials were the generation just after our parents for the most part. I guess the hippie generation. So anyways, yeah, I have observed those cycles of ups and downs. I mean, you look at like World War II, sometimes, you know, they're referred to as the greatest generation, which I don't think they are. I think it's yours and I's yours and mine. But anyways, there's a reason behind that. But no, but when you look at like the World War II generation, it's like, you know, they were going off to war at 17, and they were basically recreating society, what it looked like. You know, the guys came home and, from the war, and all kinds of things changed. You know, everything from housing to the way we travel, you know, society went through a upheaval, basically. And, you know, I'm a big car buff. And one of the things that you see is like car design changed every year to 2 years. And now it's 10, 15, 20 years that a car design is the same. So all that is a representation of where society is at that time. Everything was changing. You know, families were changing, you know, physical houses were changing. You know, you can pinpoint, architectural styles to a timeline, you know, hey, this house was built in the '50s just by looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a very long period of time where so much was changing. And then now we're coming into a kind of a plateau of a sort. So yeah, I don't know where I was going with all that.
No, you're fine, man. But a lot of good information out there. And we have Mr. Sean Kelly. You in the Houston area?
I am in Houston. Yep.
Yeah, Sean Kelly out of Houston, Texas. He has his own podcast, to Be a Man podcast. So that's, the title tells you all about it. So,
yep.
So be sure to check him out. And we're talking about train up a child, as in Proverbs 22:6. And I tell you, it's like, I guess you could say our generation is, I guess they're like I mentioned earlier on, it's like they're coddling their children, even when they become older, when they become adults themselves, they are still. How can I put it?
Well, you have the 30 and 40 year olds still living at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go, and they're still shelling out. They're still shelling out money, even though they're grown. Don't get me wrong, folks. There's nothing wrong with helping, but you know, what would your child do, or your child might need to think for themselves. Okay, what would I do if mom and daddy no longer living, and I'm falling on hard times? What will I be able to make it? I'm gonna have mama to call. Mama, can you send me $60-$70? Right. No. That's kind of concerning to me. I think this generation coming up that's been coddled so much, even though they're grown, they're no longer living under their parents' roof. Okay, and I'm telling you, sometimes life gets hard. That sometimes you're gonna go through some dry spell sometime, but you just keep bailing your child out, your grown child out. They're never going to learn. They are. I know it may sound like common sense, but it happens a lot.
Oh yeah.
Even these people, they have their grandchildren. You know, they're like, the first thing come out that my wolf, I'm gonna spoil him. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. You're gonna spoil. Your grandchild. Come on, so, and you're setting them up for failure. I'm telling you, this is a pretty cruel world. Everybody not going to coddle your little grandbaby.
Nope.
When he or she gets older.
Nope.
So at best, you just teach them something right now. Why you can't? Because they will be in for a rude awakening.
Oh yeah.
In the real world.
Yeah, one thing that popped in my mind was, like, my dad told me, it's like, when you turn 18, either you're going to college or you're going to work. If you go to college, then you can stay here if you want, but you better be going to college. Otherwise, you're either going to work or you're getting out of my house. And it wasn't out of meanness. It was out of, you know, I want to say it was out of love, but it was like, hey, go out there and do your own, like, go have your own life. You know, it's no longer my responsibility as dad to, you know, take care of you. You know, like you said, we do go through dry spells and, you know, he did, you know, help me out here and there, but, you know, it was kind of a learning experience, right? Learning time, you know, during my 20s. But, you know, talking about grandparents, you know, my grandparents didn't call me at all. They did me just like my dad. It's like, you get out there and work. Even when I was little, you know, they had greenhouses, and as you know, when I'd go visit them, I'd have to go over there and work. but anyways, going back to, you know, even longer than 200 years ago, as humans, we're meant to live in a tribal society. You know, and that's not, you know, spears and everything else, you know, not that kind of tribe, but, you know, even today you can find your tribe. You know, you find your people that you agree with, and, you know, you basically trust them with your life, and, you know, you can kind of build up and build each other up, around, you know, and help each other and everything else. But anyways, going back to, how it should be in a tribe is that you have the whole tribe raising the children. So as a woman would leave childbearing years, then she becomes kind of this, an elder of the community, and you're passing on information. So it wasn't on, you know, we look at today, even in two parent household, it's a lot to raise raise children, go to work, raise children, take care of the house, you know, cook food, all this other stuff. We used to have many people that did all of this stuff. So raising the child or seeing after the child was on one person, you know, cooking was on another person, you know, doing the farm was on another person. So it wasn't one person trying to do everything. It was the whole community coming together to raise the community, and take care of each other. And, you know, that's one thing that's been lost, today. And in a big city like Houston, it's possible, but it would take quite a lot. And then if we ever, have a scenario where we run out of a lot of things, then in the city is not where you want to be anyways. I won't expound on that because that's not what that's way off topic, but, you know, can we implement things, today of that tribal, you know, society? I think we could, but that's part of finding your tribe is when you have children, it's, you know, having others to basically pitch in and help out, and whatever means that might be. That's not necessarily just financial. It's not, you know, any one thing. But I think that's possible. Again, kind of getting off topic of where you want, where you wanted to be. But are children today different? Like I said, I think there is those cycles. But going back to what I said earlier is if you're having issues with your child's behavior, then you need to look in the mirror.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah. And as far as like, the coddling and everything is, yeah, that's definitely an issue.
Yes, sir. As we're speaking to Sean Kelly of Houston, Texas, he runs the podcast, To Be a Man podcast. So I encourage you to, you know, check it out. Give you a chance. He has some interesting things to talk about on there. So when you get a chance, please, please do check him out. With Sean Kelly. And I tell you, it's... You said some early on about both parents being on the same page in raising the children. I think that's real important to, you know, and it goes back to allowing that man to be the head of the household. And that's it's a shame you got to say allow. You got to allow him to be the head.
Right.
He shouldn't have to fight. Just think about the responsibilities of a man. To go out there, like you said, work 12, 14 hours a day, maybe 5-6 days a week or whatever. Okay, man. They're doing what he can. Sometimes it might be tight. He's doing what he can to keep a roof over his family's head, keeping clothes on their back, food on the table. You shouldn't have to come home and fight to be. It's not dictator or nothing like that. But man, you shouldn't have to come home and fight to be the head. It's, like I mentioned before on other broadcasts, seem like the animal kingdom, they have it together. The Silverback Gorillas, ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about who's the head there. The Lion Prize, they know who the head there.
Yep.
But some of us humans, between a man and a woman, it's always a battle, and it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Somebody that I've been listening to, gathering information from lately, is a man named Jordan Peterson. He's very theological. He's really good. Very intelligent. So one of the things that he brought up is within the biblical man and wife, there's this term called helpmeet that you find in the English. So when you look at Hebrew, though, you look at original language context, the word there is actually could be translated as helpful adversary. Okay. So when you kind of pull this apart, the man is very constructive. It's a very, hey, let's get things done. But then the woman comes in with the details. That's a woman's place.
Right.
The man gets things done. The woman comes in with details. And it's that adversary part is not a, nagging. It's, hey, did you think about this? Hey, have you looked at this? And it's not from a, and of course, a man's got to be receptive of this too, because it's help.
Yes, sir.
The submission, yes, we have spiritual authority over our families. We're supposed to. But that's not a, like you said, that's not a dictatorship. That is you doing life together.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working toward the same goal. We should be. And that's going back to being on the same page. I'm an advocate of making sure your personalities are matched. There's a number of different avenues you could look at for that. I won't mention them here, but make sure that just because you have good feelings for a person doesn't mean you're supposed to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say that there's, let's see if I can get it right in my head. There's someone for everyone, but everyone is not for everyone, or not everyone is for you. So you can't go out and meet a random person and work things out. Your personalities can clash. And that's one of the things that happened with me and my ex. It's personality wise, we should have never been together. But anyways, going back to this, the biblical context is, the man should set the direction. He should be the leader, but then the woman's place is to be that helpful adversary, to question, hey, did you look at this? Hey, what about this? And then the man takes it and thinks about it and contemplates it. And if it's a good idea, then it's a good idea. It's not any mark on masculinity or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's, that's her role. We're the ones that go out and do things, but it's her role to guide us and to build us up. The saying, behind every great man is a great woman. And it's true. But at the same time, she has to, it's not her role to make us adults. It's her role to support us and to kind of nurture, because they are nurturers, to kind of nurture that that role and that leadership. So, way off topic of children, but it all does play a part because, you know, at the end of the day, if you're not matched and you're not following what God prescribed this thing to work or how it should work, then yeah, things fall apart. You know, we try to do things ourselves. We try to do what society tells us to do. And we know that society is against God.
That's for sure.
So if you're really going to be in a, you know, quote unquote biblical marriage, then this is all aspects, not just, hey, does he make me feel good? Or, you know, hey, can he provide and all this other stuff? Because if we're not looking at all parts, it's going to fall apart, or all aspects.
Yes, sir. We have Mr. Sean Kelly of Houston, Texas with me, the host of To Be a Man podcast. You can check him out on YouTube. So be sure you check him out. And I tell you, it's interesting on the direction this conversation turned. And you know, I'll be honest with you now. When I first started this broadcast, it's been about a little bit over a year now. One topic I want to go talk about, I said to myself, was marriage. And I can't tell you how many times has been mentioned. That was the one topic. It just happened that way. You know, that's the way I'm led to go. And you know, I guess, you know, when raising children, I guess it's hard to separate the marriage too, you know, because
it is.
I'm happy for the direction this conversation going. You know, it started with the parents, the man and woman, with the upbringing of the child. Well, start with the man first, because he is responsible. You believe it or not, folks, the man is supposed to be the head of the household. I don't care what society says, I don't care what social media says, or reality TV says. That's God's order.
Yep.
And it works itself down. And you say it's pretty much a reflection of yourself. And that kind of like I was saying before, is it a different breed of children, or is this the parenting? And I believe, like you said, it is a combination of both. Because I tell you, I dealt with a lady at the time. She had a daughter at the time. She was like 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a cowboy hat, a nice black cowboy hat. You know, that little girl took my hat, threw it on the ground, and just stomped on it. And her mama didn't do nothing about it.
Yep.
Didn't get on it. Didn't say, no, you shouldn't do that. No. So that's the kind of parent that we have here, y'all.
It is.
And I can only imagine that was just one parent I seen do that. So just imagine. It might be, I'm sure that's going on around the world. Then you see a little child just acting crazy, and you won't do nothing about it. Even go as far as to justify it.
Yep.
I understand why she done it. I feel her. I'm like,
right.
Okay, that's the world we're living in, Sean.
It is. So we're running up on the clock. I'm watching, but going back to the verse that you had up, you know, train up the child in the way they should go, and they will never depart. That's actually taken out of context very often, if not almost all the time. So it's one of our jobs as a parent to recognize the characteristics of our children, and then because they're either going to be, you know, their personality is going to be, you know, artsy, or maybe they love to read, maybe they, you know, they love sports or very active. You know, there's all kinds of gamuts that we can go through. It's our job as a parent to recognize this and then to encourage them in that path. This is not just a, hey, follow God and they will not depart, because we see that all the time today. We have children that are raised in church, and the moment they leave high school, they leave church too. And I'm going to point the finger at myself, because I was one of them. You know, raised Catholic, and, you know, went through all the stuff in the Catholic Church, and day of graduation is, see ya, I'm out. So that scripture is not just based on following God. Now, I never lost faith in God. You know, I believed, but I left the church. So anyways, yeah, that I've heard that, and it was rather interesting, you know, about that verse.
Oh, yes. And Michelle and Kelly, before we get out of here, you got any projects, anything you're working on you want the people to know, or tell them a little bit about your podcast or anything?
Now, the podcast is a little bit of a hiatus right at the moment. It wasn't totally intentional. I will pick it back up. But there is stuff out there you can go listen to. But I'm building a business, so that's taken up quite a lot of my time. So, yeah.
All right, everybody. That was Mr. Sean Kelly out of Houston, Texas, the host of the Be a Man podcast. And again, I hope y'all got some out of this podcast. After each broadcast, I really do hope that something was said that's a help to y'all. And I really do appreciate you guys for listening. However you're listening and the way you're listening, I really appreciate you. And until next time, y'all take care.